Praise the Lord. Do you know, it's good to be here tonight. And do you know, even in sad times, the best thing to do is to gather with God's people, with the Lord's people. And as I say, I'm looking around, do you know Yeshua? Do you know Jesus? Sure? Praise the Lord. Because I always look around to see if I can see any unsaved people. No, so praise the Lord, and I can't. Have I dropped something? Oh, that's my...
Thank you.
It's one of my bookmarks from our Ariel. Praise the Lord. Well, as I said earlier, it's always sad when we lose a brother in the Lord. And I found it very sad. But nonetheless, the Lord is our strength. He's our stay. It feels quiet because I'm so used to Bruce being behind the electric piano. But, you know, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for my brother, Steve Maltz, wherever he is, and for the support. Oh, I forgot you're sitting next to me. Praise the Lord. Oh, dear. Praise the Lord. So thanks for supporting tonight and supporting the fellowship. It's really much appreciated. And praise the Lord. Anyway, without much further ado, let's turn to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Psalm 12. So I'm just going to read the whole psalm before we glean from it. It says this: the heading is to the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbour. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer before we come to deeper things in this psalm. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, my God and my King. Praise you, Heavenly Father, that through the precious blood of the Messiah, we can bow our heads before you, Lord God. For you are the creator of the universe. You are the King, the covenant-keeping God of Israel. And we thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, you've given us your word, Lord God. And as we look into your word, Lord God, so may your word comfort us, Lord God. May you give us ears to hear what your spirit wants us to hear, Lord God. May you give us eyes to see what you want us to see, Lord God. Lord, I've prepared my notes. I've done the best I can, Lord God. But ultimately, it is your Holy Spirit that brings life, Lord God. It is your Holy Spirit that brings comfort, Lord God. It is your Holy Spirit that brings revelation, Lord God. And Lord, how we need revelation in times we're in, Lord God. How we need revelation when we're heavy in heart. How we need revelation when things shock us, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you for gathering us together. I thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, we have the freedom to fellowship, to worship you, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord, that as we look into your word, Lord God, so may your Holy Spirit brood over us, Lord God. May your Holy Spirit hover over us, Lord God, that we may behold things in your word that you want us to behold, Lord God, that you would do more than inform our understanding, that you'd give us revelation, Lord God. Lord God, how we need to see you in your glory, Lord God, how we need to see more of you in our lives, Lord God, how we need to see and discern you at work, even in this nation, in our families and so forth, Lord God, how we need you, Lord Jesus. So I pray you'd help us, Lord God. Help us in our weaknesses and frailties, Lord God, that all glory would go to you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So we've got Psalm 12, and the background to this psalm is the fact that David was being pursued by Saul. I'm sure we're aware of the fact that David was the one anointed to be king. Saul had been king. He had a privileged position, and yet he intruded into things he should not have intruded into. If you remember, he went to fight the Philistines, and what happened to him was he was meant to wait for Samuel to turn up to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. He didn't do that. He didn't have the patience to wait 7 days. And so Saul took it upon himself to sacrifice burnt offerings to the living God. And then Samuel turned up and he said, what do you think you're doing? You know, the kingdom has been rent from you this day. And then later on, what was he told to do? To go and destroy the Amalekites. Kill Agag. Wipe out the children. Wipe out the women. Wipe out the whole population. Destroy the sheep. Destroy the cattle. Destroy it all. What did Saul do? He disobeyed the Lord. He took the best of the sheep, the best of the cattle. He spared the life of Agag. And what was Samuel's reply to him? Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. You have disobeyed the word of the Lord. And that was the background to Saul losing the kingdom. And then what he did was he pursued David because David became the anointed man. The kingdom passed from Saul to David. And so Saul pursued him. He wanted to kill David. The priests all got 85 priests got killed. Ahimelech got killed. Abiathar was the only one to escape. Saul wiped out the priests of the Lord. And in the background, that is basically the background to this psalm. And in distress, he's lost his loved ones. He's being persecuted. His men are, you know, they're basically doing a guerrilla warfare. They're in hiding. And in that midst, what does David do? The first verse we read in Psalm 12, help, Lord. It's an imperative. You know, he's saying, Lord, call, we need your help. Lord, we need you. In Hebrew, help is, Hoshea Adonai. That's a tetragrammaton. YHVH, Yod Hei Vav Hei. He's calling out to the Lord, help. What does Yeshua mean? Yeshua, which is the abbreviated form of Yehoshua, means Lord save. Save us, Lord. And you know, if we want help, the only one we can call upon is Yeshua, is Jesus. He's the only one who will save us. Whatever situation you're in, whatever heartache you're facing, whatever distress you have, whatever loss you bear, that is the time to cry out, Lord, help. Help us. And the only person who can help you, the only person who can help me is Yeshua, Yehoshua, Jesus. The Lord delivers, the Lord saves. He's your strength and your shield. And whatever you're facing right now, whatever upset you're facing, whatever brokenness inside you're facing, God is able to help you through his son, the Messiah. And that's the truth. At the end of the day, sometimes we can feel so lonely. You know, sometimes we can look at the state of the church in this nation and we can think, what's happened to the word of the Lord? Where are the godly men? Where are the righteous ones? But you know, Lord always has a remnant. He always has a people set aside. Do you know, I can guarantee you're not alone. Whatever you're going through, you are not alone. There are others going through what you're going through. You're never alone. No matter how alone you feel, you're not alone. The Lord is with you. His spirit is with you. Do you remember Elijah? I'm sure we know the story of Elijah. That Elijah was there. A mighty man of God. The prophet. And what does he do? He takes on the prophets of Baal. 450 prophets of Baal. He's there. Okay, let's have this change on Mount Carmel. What does he do? He says, you build an altar to your God. The one who calls answers by fire, he is God indeed. So Elijah's there, facing his 450 prophets of Baal. You can read all about it in 1 Kings chapter 18. And so they're there, calling to Baal. They're cutting themselves. They're flagellating themselves, doing all kinds of things. Elijah's there, he mocks. Now he's saying he must be sleeping on a far journey somewhere. So it goes on. And then it's Elijah's turn. Elijah's there. He builds an altar, 12 stones. Each stone represents one of the tribes of Israel. He builds a trench around it. He gets them to fetch water. They soak it with water 3 times. And then he prays. He calls out to the Lord. And what does the Lord do? Fire comes down. It burns up the sacrifice. It burns up the altar. It licks up all the water. Only our God can do that. But what does Elijah do after that? Jezebel hears. Jezebel pursues Elijah. I'm going to kill you, Elijah. He goes into depression. He flees a one day's journey into the wilderness. He comes to a juniper tree. Don't ask me what a juniper tree is. I can't tell you, I really know. Look it up in a Bible dictionary or something. Or whatever, yeah. I don't know everything. Who does? But praise the Lord. The Lord knows what a juniper tree is. Anyway, he goes one day's journey into the wilderness. He's there. What does he do? He sits down in this tree. An angel of the Lord appears, possibly Yeshua in pre-incarnate form. He gives him some food. He says, you need this food to keep you in strength. He takes the food. For 40 days he continues until he comes to Mount Horeb. What is so significant about Mount Horeb? Mount Horeb is the place where Moses received the covenant with Israel. And Elijah is saying, I am the only one, Lord. I'm all alone. Then what happens? He's staying in the cave. Suddenly, there's a great wind. Mountains break in two. There's dramatic stuff going on. Next, there's an earthquake. Next, there's a fire. The Lord is in none of those things. It's a still, small voice. It suddenly comes. And what's the Lord say? There are 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. He wasn't alone. And whatever situation you're going through, you are not alone. You can feel like it. You can feel the whole world is quit caving in. I don't know your situations right now, but I can tell you now, the Lord is for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? He's our strength. He's our comforter. And he's in this place right now. The Holy Spirit is here right now at work amongst us. No, you're never alone. All we need to do is pray. Help you. It's a prayer. Your first call of pool of call, my first pool of call is always, it has to be Yeshua. It has to be. He is the deliverer. And when we look at this Psalm 12, the battle is over the word of the Lord. Know as it tells, verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. And that word godly, chassid, pious, gracious people, the gracious one ceases. For the faithful fail. That's people, faithful. If we're people of faith, we're called to be faithful. You can't be, you can't demonstrate your faith unless you're faithful to God. That's the whole concept of Hebraic faith. Emuna. Faithfulness. Are you faithful to God in the hard times and in the good times? David was when he was being pursued by Saul. That's how we need to be. Faithful to God. And ultimately, this battle is over what? God's word. Has God really said? It's the same old, same old. It goes way back to the Garden of Eden. And this whole psalm is to do with God's word. Verses 2 to 5 deals with man's word in contrast to God's word. And I would encourage everyone here to trust God's word, to trust scripture. Don't put your trust in men. Don't put your trust in pastors. Don't put your faith in vicars, in priests or whatever. Put your trust in God and his word. Because I can guarantee man will always let you down. Your pastor, your vicar, whatever. They'll always let you down. The one who will not let you down is who? Yeshua. Now, the great comforter. He's the one who will never let you down. And the battle's always been over God's word. It continues, verse 2. It says this, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffs at him. So we have man's word in contrast to God's word. What does it tell us? They speak vanity. That's empty words. That's lies. That's what Scripture's telling us. It tells us they speak with flattering lips. In my version, in the Hebrew, it's talking about slippery tongue, smoothness, smooth speech. So you've got lies, empty speech. You've got smoothness, slippery tongues. Beware of people who talk slick or professional. Beware of that. What else does it say? And with a double heart, do they speak? No, literally in the Hebrew, it's belave, belave. In heart and heart, do they speak? A double heart. In other words, there's one thing in front of your face, but another thing behind your back. I'm sure we all know people like that who've said, oh, I'm your friend, or I'm this, or I'm that. Given promises, and yet behind your back, they're doing something else. I'm sure we've all experienced that. I'm sure we've all got blood in our veins. I'm sure there's not one person here who hasn't known somebody like that. That's what this is talk about. People who lie, empty talk, people who say the right things, flattering lips, smooth talk, double-hearted. Also, these people speak boastfully. Now, what do they say? Verse 4, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? That's speaking of boastfulness. That's basically what the Hebrew brings out. How many people know people boast? I'm sure I remember, when I've been in college or whatever, I'll do this for you, I'll do that for you. I can do all these sort of wonderful things. I'm sure we knew people like that in school. I'm sure we've met people like that at work. But it's all boastful talking, proud talking. Doesn't always mean anything. You can't trust man's word. The only word you can trust is the Lord's word. And what has the Lord promised? He's promised this: for the oppression of the poor, verse 5, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety. The King James Version says, from him that sets puffs at him. But it's more to do with, and I've got all my little Bibles down here. I've got the Hebrew text in front of me. So I checked, I thought, what's the best translation? Well, Psalm 12, the New King James Version, says this: for the oppression of the poor, for the sight of the needy, now will I arise, says the Lord, I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. Do you yearn for safety? Do you yearn for a deliverer? No, it's the one who, the Hebrew sense is, the one who pants to him. You've come to an end of yourself. Then the only way you can turn to it is the Lord. Those people in desperate needs, he will protect. The Lord will arise. He will bring deliverance. That is the nature of our God. He will bring deliverance when we call upon the name of the Lord. He's our strong strength. He's our deliverer. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it's Joel chapter 2, verse 32, I believe. That's repeated in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, I believe. It's repeated in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, three times. The Lord doesn't say that without reason. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whatever your situation is, the Lord will deliver. He will save. It's knowing who to call upon. Help, Lord. Yeshua. He's the one to call upon. He will bring deliverance. No, God's word is sure. Verse 6 continues, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Lord's words are pure words. Now think of a furnace, and this is talking about a furnace seven times, you know, boiling hot. God's word has stood the test of time. People have tried to disprove it. People have tried to debunk it. People have tried to say the resurrection never happened. There's so many things. And yet God's word for thousands of years has stood the test of time. No other holy book can do that. The Quran can't stand up to scrutiny like the scriptures have stood up to. The books of the Hindus can't. God's word is a sure word. That's why I know when my brother dies in the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, because God's word tells me that. My assurance is not based on my experience. My assurance is not based on my knowledge so far, as it's based on revelation given to me through Scripture. That is the revelation that every human being needs. You can't intellectualize it. You can't work it out. And I'd rather be a fool for Christ than to be wise in the things of the world. That's my nature. That should be our nature as believers. God's word stands forever. It doesn't change. It's a supernatural book. And it's an amazing book because it deals with history. And we can see God's word in effect now. No, Israel in their land is a proof that this is God's word. Only God can tell the beginning from the end. And if he's done that, I can't understand why people can't see and believe God's word. We're seeing it unfold in our generation. And if that's happening, we're seeing it. Then I know where my brother is. Maybe you've lost loved ones in the Lord. You know where they are. If they knew the Lord, you know exactly where they are. Because God's word tells us. And we have a Savior who's told us. You know, he died and rose again. He's ascended King. He's coming again. God's word is sure. You know, they're pure words. You know, there's no lies in God's word. There's no vanity, no emptiness, no worthlessness. There's no smooth talk, slippery talk. God is straight. We might not always be straight, but he's down the line. He doesn't boast. He doesn't need to boast. He's God. The one thing God can't do is what? Lie. It's the one thing he can't do. He can't lie. He's true to his word. No, then verse 7. It says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's a difficult verse. I had to look, like I said, I went through the whole Hebrew of this, this psalm. Took me ages to translate. I've got my own little translation here. And you know, the Hebrew, I've looked in commentaries also. It's very difficult Hebrew to actually translate. And you know, I believe there's a reason why the Holy Spirit did that. Because in the first instance, it can be understood two ways. It can be understood to refer to God's promise to keep God's people. You know, in verse 5, it refers to that. You know, God promises to protect you. Make sure you belong to him. Make sure you're in his hand right now. He'll never let you go. Make sure you're in the palm of his hand. He'll protect you. He'll watch over you. He'll keep you. He'll keep you if you're faithful, if you're poor, if you're oppressed, if you're needy. Just trust in him. He'll keep you safe. He'll protect you. He'll watch over you. You know, whatever next year, this year brings, we've had, you know, there's been a lot of things happening in the tree of life. God will keep you. He'll keep this place. This isn't my work. It's not man's work. It's not dependent on me or anyone else. It's dependent on the Lord. The Lord will build his house. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That's the promise of Scripture. And, you know, I'm always aware there's someone praying for us right now. Who's that? Exactly. Yeshua is praying right now in John chapter 17. I mean, I'll take great. And I believe this prayer has been answered. It's already answered. And this is what our Messiah prayed. In chapter 17 of John's Gospel, verse 15. It said, Lord prayed this, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, or the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Cling to God's word. You know, unity isn't based on a church. It's not based on any one man. It's based on God's word and the Messiah. That's where unity is. And he's made a promise. He prays that though we're in the world, we're not of it. And he'll protect us. And I believe that prayer has been answered. Do you really think that the Lord will pray and it wouldn't be answered? Of course it would be answered. It's been answered. It's done. It's not waiting for fulfillment. The basis of unity is God's word. That's the only basis. The Messiah shown in Scripture. But also that verse 7 can also refer to God's very word itself. God will preserve his word. He'll keep his word. He'll keep you. He'll keep his word. You know, Psalm 119 verse 89 tells us, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's what the Lord promises. It's settled. It's a done deal. It's done. You know, Matthew chapter 5 verse 18. If I can find it. Verse 18, what did the Lord say? For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one yod, or one little mark on the yod, or one little letter, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. God's word stands forever. Matthew 24, verse 35. You don't have to turn to these, but if you want to, you're free to. But Matthew 24, verse 35, the Lord said this, in the context of his second coming, but nonetheless, it's relevant for us now. The Lord said, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Trust in the word of the Lord. Trust in what he says. Don't trust man, trust God. He's done it. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. The promises of God in Christ Jesus are what? Yes and amen. Who is the Lord? Who is Yeshua? The living word. That's who he is. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust man's word. Trust in God's word. And you know, it brings me back full circle. Help, Lord. Whatever you're going through, lift it up before the Lord. Family problems, lift it up before the Lord. Financial problems, lift it up before the Lord. Housing problems, lift it up before the Lord. Bad health, lift it up before the Lord. People attacking you, lift it up before the Lord. Loss of a brother, lift it up before the Lord. No, he's not left us as orphans. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's here now, as I said. Even when you feel like he's not there, guess what? You can't flee from his Spirit. He's still there. He's here. And you know, when you go home, sometimes I know if you live alone, you can go home. You can feel empty. But you know, the Lord is there. The Holy Spirit is there. Jesus, Yeshua, is there. He doesn't leave us as orphans. He always comforts. You know, so the Lord's going, he'll protect you. He'll watch over you. He'll keep you. Which I find a comfort. Through good times and bad times, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. But also, God will keep his word to you. He'll preserve his word. He'll watch over it to perform it. So what do we need to do? Know God's word. Meditate on it. Eat it. Digest it. Now, Psalm 34. I said you don't have to turn to these, but Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you taste and see that the Lord is good? Trust. Trust in what? God's word. Psalm 119, verse 103. I've got all these little bookmarks, which are falling out. Psalm 119. Verse 103, and you don't get many books in the Bible with how many verses? It's got 176 verses, but it's 103. And it says this, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I will get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Taste and see the Lord is good. How? Through trust in his word. Through studying his word, through getting understanding through his scriptures, through his word. God will protect you. He will also protect his word. And his promises to you are what? Yes and amen. Praise the Lord. So we've got a good saviour. We've got a good strong tower. When you cry, "Help, O Lord," who's your strong tower? Yeshua. So whatever you're going through, who knows what we'll face in the future? Who knows? He's the one we call upon. He's our strong tower. He's our hope, our refuge. Therefore, if any man be in Messiah, he is what? A new creation. In Messiah, he's our safety. He's our deliverer. He's our strength. So praise the Lord. And I'm going to land there. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise you, my God and my King. Praise you, Lord, that you are a good God. That, Lord, we acknowledge you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I just pray, Lord God, that as I've shared as best I can what you laid upon me to share this evening, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that, Lord, you would bring things to remembrance through this evening, through this week, as you see fit, Lord God. That, Lord, you would help us, Lord God, to be encouraged in you, Lord God. That you would, Lord God, be glorified in all we do. That, Lord God, your word does not return void, Lord God. And so I pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of us, Lord God, that you know where each one of us are at, Lord God. And I just pray you'd bring comfort where there needs to be comfort, and Lord God, encouragement where there needs to be encouragement. I pray your people would be edified this evening, Lord God, and that, Lord God, as we go our separate ways later on, Lord God, so, Lord God, may your spirit go with us, Lord God. May you refresh and refill, Lord God, and may you be glorified in all we do, Lord God. I discharged as best as I could, Lord God, what you laid on my heart to share this evening. I pray, Lord God, that it would strengthen your people. In your name, Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.